This is Reuven Levy. We are learning the book Ganesh Shalom, Rav Shalom Arush. We're on page 120 in the Hebrew version. We're in the chapter explaining how a husband needs to respect his wife, no matter how she is treating him, not conditional. She's treating me very badly, in my opinion. I still have to give her the utmost respect, honor, attention, love, everything I need to give her. It's not conditional on how she is acting towards me. It's a strict obligation. And a husband will find sometimes that his wife can suddenly turn. One moment she's encouraging him, and the next moment he finds that she's against him. Maharsh explains to us this is what the Torah teaches us. Eza kenegdo. If a man merits it, if he's purified himself, she's an ezer, she's a helpmate. And if not, if he doesn't merit it, if he hasn't purified himself, she's kenegdo, she's against him. Rav writes, the habal v'palen, the husband, when he sees this, he's bewildered. Hazor isha she'ahavti, this is the wife that I loved, that's suddenly gone crazy on me. Aisha Shetmo Sharinu Yachdav Kmo the Idilia. This is the wife that yesterday together we were an idyllic couple. Vrauch Varak Chasu Hakinorot Anevalim Ashlimet Atmuna Hamoshlemet Shel Chaye Hazibugim. Right, and we were lacking only the violins and the harps to complete the picture of the perfect couple. Everything was perfect yesterday. And suddenly, everything tipped on its head and everything is disastrous. And so to the opposite. When the wheel turns, when Hashem helps him and cancels the strict judgment of him and the obstacles. Ashalom chozer lekano, and the peace returns to the home. Bnei hazug v'chayechim zolazo, the couple smile at one another. Ohavim, they love each other. Mochadim, they're together. Abal mitpale achshav od yoter, and now the husband is even more bewildered. Hazor isha shemo. Is this the wife that yesterday was making my life so bitter that I even wanted to die, chas v'shalom? Hayitachen ha'isha adina v'ni'ima zu hi ha'isha shenmo niratani k'mifletzet ha'mayamet l'achrivoti. Could it be, is it possible that this wife who is so sensitive and so pleasant is the same woman that yesterday seemed to me like a violent monster who was going to destroy me? All of this comes to teach us that all shalom bayit is really hashkacha pratit. It's divine. Hashkacha. Pla'it biyoter lefi haruchaniyot shel ba'al, which is dependent upon the level that the husband is holding. How the husband is acting, he will get sent his shalom bayit from heaven, and it has nothing to do with what it looks like on the ground. One moment, everything could be wonderful. The next moment, it could look like the worst disaster ever. And then it can flip around to be the exact opposite 5 minutes later. Everything is in the hands of Hashem. It's not natural. A person should learn from his shalom bayit. There's no such thing as nature, and that Hashem is in control of everything. If he doesn't see that in his shalom bayit, well, he needs to look a bit further. The da. You should know that when a man comes to look for the reasons that he's suffering, it's upon him to know that you saw in he, that the main reason for his suffering is hagaavah shel adam, the arrogance of a man. Kol din sheyesh al adam, all judgment that is on a man, sheyeda shehu ba'al ga'avah, he should know it's because he's a ba'al ga'avah, he's an arrogant individual. Hu ba'or hadavah shekar sheyesh din, and it should be clear that when there is judgment on a man, sarech adam lachnia et atzmo, the person needs to humble himself. So every time we fall, every time we fail, all our sins have at their root ga'ava, arrogance, pride, ego, all the same thing. A husband needs to humble himself. The root of all sins is ego. Why? Because the root of all sins is avodah zarah. There is no other gods besides me, says Hashem. When I might make myself into a god, when I forget about Hashem, that's called ego. That's called arrogance. That's the root of all sins. It's the first commandment, I'm Hashem. And the flip side of that, there's no one else but me. When I fall into the flip side, and I break the there is no one else apart from me, says Hashem. And I break it by saying, yeah, there's me, I exist. I'm a reality, I decide, I control, I'm in charge. Then I fall from Ga'ava. And that is the main cause of my suffering. Therefore, if I want to look to try and repair that, to try and fix it, to try and see what Hashem wants me to do, what message you're trying to tell me, then a good starting place is to realize that there's Ga'ava written all over this thing that is my ga'avah. There's maybe other things going on as well. The ga'avah has led me to other stuff. Ga'avah leads a person to niyuf. Ga'avah leads a person to look at women. Ga'avah leads a person to seek honor for himself. It's the root of all the sins in one way or another. And there's no suffering without prior sin. And when we remove the reason for the suffering, then the suffering stops, because there's no reason for it to continue. Echad hamatzavim haragishim biyoter shebehem rov habalim noflim vipitui hayitzah le ha'ir nishnotehem. One of the circumstances which is most troubling that most husbands fall to the lies of the Yetzirah is in criticizing their wife. Kashia ba'al mitorer l'teshuvah, when a husband wakes up to do teshuvah, v'ishto lo mitoreret kamohu, and his wife doesn't wake up in the same way. The husband, they're both a secular couple, or they both are not practicing their Judaism very strongly. And the husband wakes up one day and realizes that he needs to do better. He needs to spend more time learning Torah. He needs to start davening in a minyan. He needs to start putting on tefillin. He wants to get stronger. He wants to be chozer b'teshuvah. And his wife is not interested. She didn't have the same awakening. She didn't read that book that he just read. She didn't have that conversation with the friend that woke him up. So she's not interested. She was exactly the same place where she was holding yesterday and the day before. So she doesn't want to do teshuvah. V'hu margish sheyesh lo et kol hasibot la'amlel et ishto v'la'ir la yomam v'layla. And he, the husband, now feels that he has all the reasons to attack his wife, to criticize her day and night. Matosa, what are you doing? At Rashayit, you're a wicked lady. At Overet Halacha, you're transgressing Halacha. You don't care what you're doing. The kitzur, in short, Haisha Hamiskena Chasufa Lelachat Ubidyonot Hashkem Ba'erev. In short, this poor wife suffers pressure and criticism and disgrace from her husband from morning until night. If the husband was satisfied just at this point with the way he was acting, okay? Right, however, not only that, but together with these criticisms, he also shows her that she is now no longer interesting to him. Because now he's got Torah and Teshuvah, and now he stops going out with her and he stops speaking to her, etc. Therefore, of course, when she sees this, and when she sees in particular that he's enjoying his Torah lessons so much, as I call at Shuvashalo Niyet Ha'oyev Mispar Chanshala, then all of his Teshuvah becomes the enemy number one for her. Sharei Biglal HaTeshuvah, because she sees it's because of this Teshuvah, he makabelet, because you're not, she is now receiving criticisms and attacking from her husband. The only reason is because of this Teshuvah. Biglal HaTeshuvah Shelo, he kabal lo chashuvah. And she sees that because of this Teshuvah that he's going through, she's now no longer important. So it's no wonder that she hates his Teshuvah. She blames his Teshuvah for all the problems she's suffering. And she's right. It is because of his Teshuvah that she's now suffering. Hatotza'ahi, she'im ad achshav haya od eze sikui she'ota isha tachzor b'tshuvah. Achshav, so what happens? So now, if there was up till now any chance that his wife would make teshuvah, so now that the husband is causing her to suffer so much through this thing, it's only going to distance her even further. And she hiso belet mikol dabar shekashur l'Torah, till she can't stand anything that is connected at all to Torah. And she's not prepared to listen to any words about Teshuvah. And even the little sympathy she had for tradition will disappear. And for sure, she will turn against her husband with all of her strength. About this, Chazal said, that before the neshama of every person came down into this world, they made it take an oath. Tiet tzadik v'al tiyeh rasha. You should be a tzadik and not be a rasha. Right? The oath that every person took before he came down to this world, when he came down from Shabbat, is they told him, make an oath that you will be a tzaddik and you will not be a rasha. Peroshu hachasidim. The chasidim explain what this means. Shalotiyeh rasha b'tzidkut shelcha. Right? The question is, if it says be a tzaddik and don't be a rasha, then why do you need to say, don't be a rasha? Don't be a rasha is obvious. I'm telling you to be a tzaddik. You can't be both. So if you're going to be a tzaddik, you're not going to be a rasha. So I don't need to tell you, and don't be a rasha. I need to tell you, be a tzaddik. That's it. That's what I need to tell you. So why add, and don't be a rasha? So the perush given, the explanation given over here is that you should not be a rasha, but tzidkut shelcha. Don't be a rasha with your righteousness. It's one thing to be righteous, but it's another thing to use that righteousness as a rasha, to be a rush out with it. Wicked person. Lachen, hadavar rishon she'abal ha-tzadik, sorry for that. Therefore, the first thing that the husband, who's now a tzadik, what he thinks he is, needs to know is she'lo la'ir l'ishto klal b'shum inyan. He should not criticize his wife at all on any matter. B'chol she'ken lo b'inyanin shel Torah mitzvot. And all the more so, we should not say anything to her regarding matters of Torah and mitzvot. V'lo yagid la shum mila, he shouldn't say any word to her at all. He tzricha la'asot kacha, liyot kacha, that she needs to do such a thing or act in such a way. V'lama hi lo asa kacha, and not to question why she's not doing something, etc., etc. V'lo zububa, not only that, shelo yivazelta, he should not rebuke her. Not only that he should not rebuke her, ella, rather, also, afsh yikaberota, he even needs to give her honor. Odyote, even more, imashiki bed otakodem, than that which he used to give her. Yavila matanot, to bring her gifts. Yachmila, to compliment her. Be'ismachota, to make her happy. B'chol derech v'sherot, in any way that's possible. Right now, he's got an even bigger duty. Even though she's still acting very badly, she's not taking on Torah mitzvah, she's not interested in Shabbos, she's not interested in doing any mitzvahs at all. Not only am I not allowed to rebuke her, I'm not allowed to say anything wrong, I actually have to act even nicer to her than I used to act. Why? Because she needs to know that making tshuva is for her benefit. She needs to see that it's a great benefit to her that I'm making tshuva. But she's going to be very happy that I made tshuva. She's going to think that the Torah mitzvahs are wonderful. Look what they did to my husband. They made him into such a wonderful man. And then she's going to encourage me to continue. But if I turn into a monster because I now have Torah mitzvahs, she's going to stay far away from it. She's not going to want to touch it with a barge pole. Shnei tzadim elu yavtichu shelefachot hu lo yachichotah. These two sides confirm that at least she will not be distanced from it. Hu lo yitzaeh ota kol inyan hatshuva shelo. Right, and she won't come to hate his teshuvah, rather she will see that his teshuvah has made him, given him good midot. Shehu mitchashev ba, that he now considers her more. Mevinota, he now understands her. Zeiten la histaklut chiyuvit al hatshuvah shelo, and this will give her a positive outlook on his teshuvah. Viurela Ekol haTorah ba'or yafa, and she will see the Torah in a good light. Zehu ha'or hamiti shel haTorah, which is the true light of the Torah. Right? If the man has true Torah, which he doesn't at the beginning, when a person's making tshuva, he's fired up, and he's so keen on doing tshuva that he can walk all over anyone else that's not doing tshuva, that's not keeping halacha, even if it's his wife, and particularly because it's his wife, because he wants her to also do tshuva. So he can be very forceful that she needs to copy him and also do like him. But it's the wrong way. She will just hate the Torah. Can't force anyone to do anything. Try and force your kids. They'll just drop it as soon as they can. Even our children have to choose the Torah for them, from themselves. They have to want to do it, not because they're forced to do it. Person who is forced to do something doesn't count for anything. Person cannot do mitzvot out of force without kavanah, because he's told to do it. Someone puts a gun to your head and says, make a bracha on an apple, and you make the bracha on the apple because you've got a gun to your head. You didn't do any mitzvah. You don't get any points in Shemayim for that. You need kavanah, you need to want to do it. It doesn't help if you force your kid to be in shul. He davened all the Shemona Esrei. Why? Because if he didn't daven all the Shemona Esrei, I would have taken away his, I don't know, his iPod, his iPad, whatever he had, right? Sure, he did. He might have been there, but he wasn't there at all. He didn't get anything. And as soon as you stop having control threats over him, and he's big enough to say no, he's not going to do it, and he's never going to go back. Because what does he remember about Torah mitzvahs? That it's disgusting, it's terrible, it's frightening, it's scary, it's lack of control, it's being controlled by people. He's going to hate doing it. So you can't force them. Even though you might want it for their own good, they have to choose it themselves. Same is true with our kids, and same is true with our wife. A wife doesn't want a bench, and it's not my job to make a bench. The reason why she's not benching, the reason why my kids don't want to go to shul, is it's inside of me. It's nothing to do with them. They're reflections of me. Hashem gave them those lackings so that I can learn from them. We don't try and fix the mirror, try and fix ourselves. So not only does it backfire, there's no point. I'm not working on the wrong person. I should be working on myself. So what does the husband do? So the husband reads his book and he sees, I want to make teshuva. My wife doesn't. She's not holding where I am. I want to get stronger in my teshuva, and she doesn't want to get stronger. What should I do? I'm not allowed to say anything to her, right? I'm not allowed to, because I just have to give her more presents and more gifts and more compliments and tell her she's doing wonderful. Don't you worry. What you're doing is wonderful. And I don't think it's not wonderful. I prefer that she did change. Now I'm telling her everything's wonderful. So no. So he said, so the answer is, we have an answer. What's a man meant to do? In order to bring his wife closer to Torah, he needs to pray on her. That's my job. My job is to pray. If I see that my wife and my children are not so close to Torah, not so close to praying, to Avodat Hashem, to where I would like them to be, my job, and my only job, is to pray on them. Ki akol efshar lahasig b'tefillah, because anything can be achieved through prayer. Anything. I can get my wife to start benching just because I pray on it, and through nothing else. I can get my kids to start wanting to go to shul just by praying on it and nothing else. Everything can be achieved through prayer. Moshe Ketub, like it's written in the Pasuk, Lev Malachim B'Yad Hashem, the heart of kings is in the hands of Hashem. Kol Shechem Libash El Ishto, and all the more so the heart of your wife. The heart of kings who are in control of the country, and they decide everything, and even their heart is in the hands of Hashem. For sure your wife's heart is too, don't worry. Hashem is going to put into her heart whatever Hashem wants to put into her heart. And if that's to daven, that's to daven, and if that's to dress more sneers, that's to dress more sneers. Whatever you want, you need to burn it. Ubugamara Ubamaseh. And the Gemara brings a story about something that happened. Shila Rabbi Meir, Hayu Shechenim Rashaim. Rabbi Meir had some terrible neighbors, Shahiyu Matsarimoto, that would cause him pain, cause him discomfort. They would annoy him very much. And he would pray on them. He wanted to pray on them. He wanted to pray on them that they would die, these terrible, evil neighbors. His wife Bruria said to him, why do you want to pray that they're going to die? Hare Katuv, it's written, Yitamu Chataim Menaret, the sinners will be removed from the land. V'lo Yitamu Chotaim. Nah, Chataim. It's written that the sins will be removed from the land. The sins. V'lo Yitamu Chotaim Menaret, and not the sinners. It doesn't say in the passage that the sinners will be removed from the land. It says that the sins will be removed from the land. Therefore, you should pray on them that they do teshuva. The answer is over there that his wife told him you should pray on them to do teshuva, to make teshuva. So we see that if a person can pray on a wicked person that he does teshuva, and it can be effective. I can cause people to do teshuva just through my prayers. And for sure, I can cause my wife and my children to also get stronger and do teshuva through my prayers. And so it was, Rabbi Meir prayed on those wicked people that they would make teshuva. And then they did make teshuva. We can lamdu chazal, over here, from here, learned our rabbis. Shelamot shelechora teshuva taluya bebechira shel adam. That even though it's apparent that teshuva is dependent on the free choice of the individual, whether he wants to make teshuva. B'chol zot, hatfilah shemitpalelim alav, the prayers that you pray on them, mo'ila lachzivot teshuva, help them make teshuva. So even though it's true, a person does have free will. And he can choose not to make teshuva. Our prayers have an effect. How do our prayers have an effect? Rav Nachman writes, look at Temaran very nicely, and explains how our prayers have an effect. Our prayers are words. When our words have wings, and they fly into the air like angels. Sounds fanciful, but it's a mashal that makes it, that helps us understand. Our words fly into the air, and they enter into the heart of the person we're praying on. And they cause him to wake up to want to do tshuva. If I'm praying that Uncle Steve in Los Angeles should wake up and do tshuva, and I'm sitting here in Eretz Yisrael, and I think, Hashem, please let Uncle Steve wake up and he'll do tshuva. Hashem, please let him see the light of your Torah, Hashem. Hashem, please let him see that to be a Jew means to remember you and to pray to you and to learn your Torah. And let him see how beautiful Torah is and let it fill his heart with goodness. Right? And I pray like that. What happens? So those words leave my mouth over here in Eretz Yisrael, and they fly up into Shemayim. And then they fly down into the heart of Steve in Los Angeles. He's driving his car on the freeway. And for no apparent reason, he suddenly starts having thoughts of teshuva. In his heart, in his mind, will pop in the idea, you know what? Maybe I should light candles this Friday night. That's an interesting idea. Never thought of that before. Maybe I should just try out that new shul that opened in our neighborhood. I just walk in there. Maybe I'll just go in on Saturday and I'll have a look. I'll drive my car down there, park it a few blocks away, and I'll walk to shul and see what it's like. I haven't been to shul since I was a kid. Maybe I'll try it, see what happens. Those thoughts suddenly enter into his heart, enter into his mind, and he has no clue why they appeared. And the next thing you know, Uncle Steve is keeping Shabbos. And it's from my prayers. My prayers helped a lot. He had the free choice. He still has the free choice. When those thoughts entered his heart, when those thoughts entered his mind, when he was driving down the freeway, he had the free choice. He could have decided, nah, that's a waste of time. What nonsense. I'm going to watch a movie instead. He had the free choice to turn those thoughts away. But I helped by planting those thoughts in his mind. My prayers planted the idea. So my prayers, and the more I pray, the more times he's going to have those thoughts. And the more powerful they're going to be. If I pray a little bit, they're going to be weak, quiet thoughts that maybe not going to have a lot of impact. If I pray a lot, they're going to be deep, powerful thoughts that's going to be much harder for him to ignore. He still has free choice, but they're going to be much harder for him to ignore. And that's all from my prayers. That's all from the power of prayer. Prayer can help anyone do tshuva. It's not a shame. We should all be zoche to pray for ourselves and our loved ones and people we know, that we all return to Hashem.